Acts 15 and verse number 13 and following. I invite you to stand if you can, if you want to, for the reading of God's Word. Acts 15, this is the Jerusalem Council, and James is speaking, the pastor. Acts 15, 13, and after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord who doeth all these things. And then our text says, Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. You may be seated and thank you very much. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. I'd like to take a few moments this morning by the help of the Lord to look with you at events and past weeks and months and speak to you on the subject of tell me a time. Tell me a time. I read to you here the words of James, the pastor of the church here, and he says again, Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world, which is simply to say, that God knows everything. God foreknows all his works. God knows what he's doing. God is not like us. We don't know all that has happened, all that is happening, or all that's going to happen. Of course not. But God does. God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's ever-present. So our text is saying that God knows what he's doing. He foreknows all his works. He knows the present and the future as well as he knows the past. God knows and foreknows all things. And if that's true, and it is, then that means that God knew ahead of time what last year would be. 2020. What a year. What a trying year. None really to compare in our lifetime. What a year. We didn't know what it held, but God did. And not one moment of it took him by surprise. Consider, and of course it's still going on, but consider what last year held for most of the people in this world. It was a year of shock. It was a year of confusion. A year of tears and fears. A year of, for many, tragedy, suffering, and death. A global pandemic. A deadly virus. The rich and poor alike were the victims. Healthcare workers and professionals labored overtime to relieve the suffering. Many died alone. Thousands, tens of thousands. And the number now is in the millions of deaths related to this virus that's still here. What a year it was. A year of riots, protests, job losses, new laws and regulations we never had before. A year of unprecedented frustration, anger, social upheaval, radical agendas. Folks, our nation right this minute is in the worst shape it's been in a long, long time. A debatable election, plus 73 million abortions last year. And as I said last Sunday, but for the grace of God, we wouldn't be here today. We ought to praise God that we survived 2020. Amen. If you don't realize that, you're spiritually blind. Surely. But for the grace of God, we would not have survived. But we have survived, thank God. But I want to say in the midst of it all, as we look back, of course hindsight is 100%. But while it was happening and while it's still happening, I want to say that God was faithful the whole time. I want to say that the promises of God were still in the Bible in our worst day, in our lowest moment. I want to remind you of some things that God has promised, some things that we can hold on to. You know, the Word of God has not changed a bit. Not one single verse has been revoked or withdrawn. Through all this happened, through all the crisis and all the uncertainty, God still said to His people in His book, "My grace will be sufficient for you." And it has been. God promised to us in His book that nothing that touches our lives is greater than us by God's help. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." That's a promise. 1 Corinthians 10:13. That no temptation has to be greater than you. That you can overcome anything that comes your way. That for every trial, the superabundant grace of God will be your portion. God's grace that's greater than any need in your life. Greater than any battle, any circumstance. Greater than any sin, any problem, whatever you want to put there, the superabundant grace of God has been our portion and is promised to every one of us here this morning. Many promises. God said that we could do all things through Christ. He said that He would give us both the desire and the power to do His will. So then that means there must be no excuse if we've gone backwards. In our walk with the Lord, there must be no excuse. God said He would be to us whatever we need. He said, "If you need a spouse, I'll be a spouse. If you need a brother, I'll be a brother. A sister. Whatever you need," God said, "I'll be to you." And it's been a year, of course, of death for many. But God can make up that emptiness, that He can fill that empty seat. Didn't He say that? I mean, we can't do that, but our Lord said, "I will be to you whatever you need. And as your days, so shall your strength be. And underneath you will be My everlasting arms. And I will never leave thee and never forsake thee." So that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." That's the Word of God. Hebrews 13:5-6. And though many things fell apart and we didn't know which way to turn, we could have, if we wanted to, we could have always turned to God and His Word. They have not failed us. They have not changed. And thank God, they never will. "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thee forsake nor thee leave, never will I." Thank God, that one's good backwards, as good as forwards. Ain't that something? But God promised us some things. Job said, "When He's tried me, I'll come forth as gold." God said, I'm trying to make something out of you. I love the promises. Have you ever thought of God's promises in this book like a checkbook? You know what a check is. It's addressed to you and you have to endorse it and write your name on it. They probably won't cash it unless you write your name up there on the back and present it. That's the way the promises of God are in the Bible. They don't do you a bit of good unless you make them your own and personalize them and say, "Lord, You not only said that, You said that to me. And by faith, I endorse it and I take it to the bank of heaven and I say, 'Lord, this is what You promised. And I believe You meant it, Lord. And I'm just presenting the check and asking You to cash it in my life.'" That's hallelujah, folks. Use God's Word as your checkbook. And whatever you need, present it by faith. And let me tell you something. God will cash it every time. Yeah, he will. And he won't cash it if you don't endorse it, if you don't personalize it. I told you this. They did a study just a few weeks ago, and they said the study revealed that every group in America, because of last year's trials and tribulations, had suffered measurable mental damage except one group. And guess who that was? The Christians. Amen. Why? Because we got the checkbook and they don't. I mean, they could have it if they wanted it. And I believe that everybody could be saved. But I also know that you cannot live as a sinner like a Christian can. Folks, this book is written by God, and God is the Father of those that are saved. And if you're not saved, God's not your Father. Amen. God's not your Father. You can't claim these promises unless you're saved. So we look back upon the year, and I want you to look back with me and tell me, if you can, at any time when God was less than faithful, when God was less than almighty. Tell me a time when our all-wise, all-good, all-holy God was less than almighty. Tell me a morning when his mercies were not new. Andrew, you preached on that a while back. I want you to look back upon the year, no matter what you went through, and I want you to tell me the day and the hour when the compassions of God failed you. Tell us all, if you will, when God's love changed and abated and the God of the Bible became unmerciful and unavailable. Tell us the day and the place when God was not able to meet your need, to answer your prayers, to turn back the tide, to carry us through. Somebody feel what I... Tell me a time when God was not able to make a way for his people. Let me tell you that every minute of every hour of every day of the worst year in a long time, we failed, and a lot of things failed, and organizations failed, and governments failed, but God did not fail. And if God let you in the dark, it was so you could see the stars. If he put you through the fire, it was to burn out the impurity. And the refiner is never done until he can look in the molten mass and see himself. God is not satisfied. God is not done with us until he looks at us and sees himself. And that's the purpose of the fire. I don't pretend to have all the answers. I just know God has not failed. I just know many, many a time when we came on this parking lot and we drove off and we still do and we didn't get to talk to anybody but maybe wave at a few and our own family, and we miss that, and we miss that so much. But let me tell you that when you walked in the door of your house, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost was there waiting on you. You have had access to the Trinity every minute of the day. Amen. Brother Dennis was in the hospital. We couldn't go to him, but there's no door that can keep out God. Hallelujah. And you can build a wall of prayer, whether the person's 100 miles away or 10,000 miles away. Amen. Isn't that good to know? Ain't it good to know nothing can touch you without God's permission? That it has to come across God's desk, as it were, first? Isn't it good to know that the sufferings of this present time, and don't feel sorry so much for somebody who went to heaven, they wouldn't come back. That's graduation day, folks. Let me tell you something. When you die and go to heaven, you have been promoted to higher service. Amen. Don't dread it. I'm not dreading it a bit. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us? that all things are working together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to His purpose? Isn't it good to know, folks, that if God be for us, who can be against us? And that we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us? Isn't it good to know that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Isn't it good to know that again that nothing touches us without God's permission, and we can look up and say, Lord, You either sent this or You allowed it in my life. Lord, help me to learn what You're trying to teach me. Amen. God's always trying to teach us something. So we've had God's grace, and we've had the Holy Ghost every minute to guide us and empower us and enable us and comfort us. The great Comforter, the Paracletos, Jesus said, our personal advisor and our prayer partner. Jesus said the Comforter's coming. That means the one called alongside to help. That means He's at your elbow. Amen. That's how close the Holy Ghost is this morning. He's at your elbow. That's the Bible. He's at your elbow, praise God. That means you can get in touch with Him. It's like in a court where a lawyer whispers something. You don't know what to do. What should I do? What should I do? You don't even have to talk loud. You can whisper. He's close enough that you can whisper and He will hear you. Amen. Praise God. We've had all these things all the time. We just don't take advantage of it. We forget it. We were well taken care of. We were well taken care of by our Lord. We made a lot of plans, and some of it happened and some of it didn't. And the old saying is true that man proposes but God disposes. And maybe we'll learn to say, the Lord willing, a little bit more. And I believe one of these days, when everything's back to normal, well, we're going to appreciate some things we've taken for granted. Amen. Amen. We're going to appreciate just being able to go up in the choir and sing. Go to Sunday school. Hallelujah. That's right. Visit people again. And back to normal. Now, folks, we took it all for granted for so long, didn't we? I hope we never take it for granted again. I hope we'll always, when it's church time, say, thank God I get to go to church. Thank God I'm able to go to church and I want to go to church. Amen. This year of testimony. What 2021 holds, we don't know. But we do know this, thank God, you can't lose as a Christian. No way in the world. You can't lose, can't quit, can't die. We're in pretty good shape. Amen. If we die, we're going to heaven. Hallelujah. If we live, He's with us. If we die, we're with Him. We're in good shape. He's working on us. We have everlasting life. We cannot perish. Thank God, nothing. He's molding us all the time. You just can't lose as a Christian. I'm thankful to know that. I'll tell you what we do know as well. This world's not our home. We know that. Would you want to live here forever in the midst of sin and disease and suffering? God's going to change all that, friend. God never intended for there to be sin and death. And through Jesus Christ, He's going to get rid of it. There's going to be a day, one of these days, way out yonder in eternity, you'll probably forget what sin and death ever were. Amen. God's going to get rid of it. We know we're not at home with this world. We're not welcome in this world. We're not staying in this world. Jesus could come and take us all, or we may go one at a time. We're not welcome here. The other day, this commentator said, those Christian people, he called us monsters. I don't see anything monstrous about God's people, but this world hates us, and they let us know it. And one of these days we're leaving, and they can have it. But we're coming back to take over. The meek shall inherit the earth. So somebody tell the super wealthy that they're renting on our property. That's right, that's Jesus. The meek shall inherit the earth. Sounds like we came into a fortune when we got saved. Amen. It's the greatest thing in the world to be saved. To have your sins all forgiven. To be justified and declared righteous in the sight of God. To have peace in your soul. To know where you're going. And it's not because of anything we've ever done or will do. It's grace. It's a gift. It's free. It's because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Thank God I'm still glad to be an old-fashioned Bible-believing, born-again, blood-washed, wind of heaven, barn storming, praise God, blue sky, Christian. It's the greatest thing in the world. If you're on the devil's side, you are a loser. Just a matter of time. That's right. Why would you want to line up? Why would you want to line up with a losing team? I always wanted to be on the winning team. Can I get a witness? What we do know is that every step forward for faith, family, and freedom is going to be more difficult than it's ever been before. I would be wrong to stand up here and tell you that we're getting ready to enter a big picnic and a rose garden. That's not what the future looks like. We're going to need more wisdom than we've ever had before. We're going to need more Jesus. We're going to need more prayer. We're going to need more compassion, more devotion than we've ever had before. And thank God we can have it. I'm closing. If we must have Nebuchadnezzar's to reign over us, but God's grace will be Daniel's. And we'll stand up in the midst of this cruel pagan society in which we live. Because right is still right. Society's changing, morals are changing. But let me tell you, what was true in grandma's day is still true. And it doesn't matter what they pass in the Congress. Right is still right. And wrong is still wrong. And God is the creator and He writes the rules. Amen. So I hope you'll stand true and stand tall. If you're a Christian, be one. If you're not one, don't pretend to be. God knows our hearts. Who will stand in the gap and make up the hedge? Who will say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord? Who will let the light shine so that men may see their good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven? Who will say, here am I, send me? So I just want to say, God is good. And I want to say as well that it shall be well with God's people, no matter what. Isn't it wonderful to live without fear? Perfect love casts out fear. The Bible says that we don't have the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And my trust is in the Lord this morning, and that takes away fear. And I'm glad you can trust an unknown future to a known God. Would you stand with me, please? Let's stand for prayer. Then we're going to have a song. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your patience. Oh God, in Jesus' name, you are a faithful God. Merciful. Lord, many things we don't understand, but we thank you that known unto you are all your works from the beginning of the world. You know what we need. And Lord, we pray for your will. We pray for your mercy. We pray for the lost, for the sick, for the bereaved, the weak. Lord, who is sufficient for these things? Only you. Lord, you made us and you can heal us if it's your will. And if not, we thank you for grace that is sufficient. We thank you, Lord, that this world is
our passage and not our portion. And we thank you, Lord, that you are God at hand and not far away. A God we can get in touch with immediately. A God who watches us at all times. We do bless you. We give you glory. Touch every heart, every family. In Jesus' name, amen.